anyone in the cannabis industry has been waiting for Big Pharma to jump in. It's kind of a sign of the times that legalization is near. So with the $7.2 billion acquisition of GW Pharma by Jazz Pharmaceuticals was maybe that watershed moment. Now we've got $6.7 billion acquisition of AR Wellness by Pfizer. So not the first time that it's happened. In fact, the whole portfolio of GW Pharma is basically going to go to the wayside because Jazz Pharmaceuticals only needs a small amount of that. But what it means to the industry that Johnson & Johnson has this incubator, J-Labs, ready for pharmaceutical distribution with its first cannabinoid company. We're going to basically dive into what Big Pharma is doing and what I think they're going to do. All coming up.
It's only entertainment.
Welcome back to The Talking Hedge. I'm Josh Kincaid, capital markets analyst and host of your cannabis business podcast. So maybe you recall back in May of 2021 that Jazz Pharmaceutical completed that acquisition of GW Pharma and their Epidiolex, which isn't very good. A friend of mine that's since passed away from multiple sclerosis was taking it for his MS, and it just kind of made him pass out. So his preference was flower pre-rolls specifically. He did enjoy a dab every once in a while. But essentially, Pfizer going into AR Wellness, I would imagine that they're going to go in and pretty much do the same thing, just kind of gut the company, take what they need, and then leave everything else on the table. GW Pharma has the executives left and started a new company. So I think they're actually publicly traded, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know what the ticker symbol is. Unfortunately, I mean, if you're into gambling, they're sub pennies, like 0.001 cents. So I wouldn't even probably talk about it anyways. It's not what I do. I don't speculate. It's for somebody else to do on another podcast. But with this Pfizer acquisition, what we're seeing is $100 per share for the all cash acquisition. So unlike a lot of other deals where it's just simply, you know, oh, we'll give you some shares, this is actually money. So this is a real deal, unlike when you hear somebody who made $2 million selling their business, and when it actually goes public, it's, you know, a dollar a share, and they had 150 shares or 150,000 shares. So the most, you know, that they would have made is a fraction of what it was, quote unquote, worth in terms of shares. So you see a lot of numbers being thrown around the cannabis industry, and the majority of them are not the valuations that's going to happen when it actually hits the publicly traded markets. In this case, Pfizer is paying all cash all up front. So my bad, I said it was AR Wellness. It's actually Arena Pharmaceuticals. So AR Wellness must have been a different transaction that I was thinking about. But Arena Pharmaceuticals, a biotech company. And so they're basically trying to dedicate a cannabinoid therapeutics. And so they've got they've got products for cannabinoid type 2 receptor to aim to treat patients with disease affecting the stomach and intestines. So that'll be pretty interesting to see. A lot of gastrointestinal disorders. So giving something for CB1, CB2 receptor cells within that endocannabinoid system. So in a press release, it was stated that the proposed acquisition of Arena complements our capabilities and expertise in inflammation and immunology, a Pfizer innovation engine developing potential therapies for patients with debilitating immuno-inflammatory diseases with the need for more efficient treatment options. We're going to see Big Pharma's involvement more, trying to get interested in medical cannabis. There's a lot of cannabinoids out there, at least 100 something, probably 400 or 500, and then we just don't even know about. But the research and development on cannabinoids is what's going to be exciting and keep people throwing money into the industry for treatment applications. So I'd expect to see further involvement in pharmaceutical companies for medical cannabis moving forward, similar to Tilray agreeing with a Swiss pharmaceutical company Novartis to develop and distribute a medical cannabis product in legal jurisdictions nationwide. You might see agreements like that, or more likely somebody like Novartis buying out a company like Tilray, who's basically non-existent. So moving on to this J-Labs incubator from Johnson & Johnson, kind of looks like there's a quite a few years, at least 4 years of research and development from multiple studies, and kind of get this J Labs, which is a 40,000 square foot life science innovation center, to get their products out on the market. They've got commercialized 30 plus advanced formulations. They've got 14 international markets, and believe that cannabinoid-based pharmaceuticals are positioned to flourish. So they're expecting to kind of try at least to commercialize rare disease pharmaceutical pipeline products for epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, chronic pain, anxiety, depression, and some other things I'm not even going to try to pronounce. But essentially, it's going to be via topicals, nasal sublinguals, oral, and improved absorption profiles, maybe like a transdermal patch. There's a lot of opportunities when you look at Big Pharma. Johnson & Johnson being a $374 billion company, Pfizer, $241 billion. And they're going to make like $30 billion in profit next year off of the shots that U.S. government is paying them a ton for. The lowest market cap here is $100 billion from GlaxoSmithKline. So there's a lot of areas from ABBV to Lilly, Novo Nordisk, Merck, Pfizer. I mean, all of these companies could be gobbling up. We did a podcast about Chuck Schumer saying that, you know, we can't let the big boys in. Well, psh, whatever. That's political posturing or ignorance, naivete, maybe. But the reality is these companies in pharmacy could buy every single company they have with a check. Like, they are liquid to buy the top five market cap cannabis companies out there, just outright. So not really sure how they're going to hold that back. There's a number of clinical trials already by the FDA. Gedeboo Pharma had 40. Sanofi, that I've never heard of, they have 38. Pfizer has 4, AstraZeneca has 2. So there's a number of people looking at cannabinoid clinical trials, GlaxoSmithKline. So there's, I don't know, 15 companies right there. So more than 1300 US consumers, or about 80%, use cannabis, according to this survey. And 6 years after medical marijuana legalized in 13 states, opioid-related deaths decreased by over 33%. But knowing that cannabis could take $4 billion annually from sales, that's a small, small fraction. But why not get into it? Why not take a piece of the pie? So we're going to see them coming in, giving prescriptions for chronic pain, PTSD, anxiety, nerve pain, maybe cancer, or cancer's side effects, Tourette's, glaucoma. 7 of Canada's top 10 cannabis patent holders are major multinational pharmaceutical companies. In the US, it's very similar. So they're definitely moving to get patents, which is unfortunate. We'll have to see, you know, how that affects cultivars and availability, you know, growing certain strains. So if the pharmaceutical industry is projected to reach a value of $1.7 trillion just last year, and cannabidiol or CBD is supposed to hit a $22 billion market this year, opioids is supposed to hit $35 billion in 2025, would it make sense for Big Pharma to try and take a bite out of the cannabis industry? Yes. Companies like Insys has made legal donations to stop cannabis in places like Arizona. So there's a lot of pharmaceutical companies that are actually making a synthesized version of THC. So they don't want the real thing to be out there. They want their, you know, their pill form to be the only option. So they're donating a large sum of money, you know, and Big Pharma to try and stomp out those initiatives and create no competition for them. That's kind of the bottom line is, you know, if Nancy Pelosi can make like $100 million while in office, you know, it's like, show me a rich politician, I'll show you a criminal. And you can't even follow her stock trades. Yeah, she's up like an astronomical percent, something like, what is it? Like on average, she's up like 100% per year consistently over and over. And so anybody who's trying to follow her and retweet her trades, they get canceled. She can continue to do insider trading, but anybody who tries to track her can't. So 2 sets of rules, you know, Big Pharma is going to follow one, cannabis is going to follow the other, very similar. And unfortunately, they have a lot more money in big pharma to synthesize this and make GMOs. And then I don't know. I don't know what this is going to mean long term. I just know that a lot of us in the industry aren't going to take these pills. And so if there's some kind of crazy law that says, you know, concentrates are held by a patent by Jazz Pharmaceuticals and they're the only ones who can make extract, like no one's going to follow that rule or law, you know what I mean? So it'd be interesting to see how this plays out, because if there's a particular cultivar that people like and it's got exclusivity by big pharma, I guarantee you there's going to be a massive black market that opens up as a result of that. I think ultimately a lot of these companies are realizing you can't keep throwing money in opposition to this legalization or regulated process. It's going to happen. So might as well jump on board. Yes, you can probably delay it a couple more years, but inevitably get your first mover advantage. Stop fighting it and just jump on board. So they got deep pockets. They can definitely make some serious adjustments, and they already have those FDA connections, right? So if they really do need the crazy amounts of money to be FDA approved for whatever ailment that they want to be able to promote, I think unfortunately it's probably going to be more of the big pharma that is allowed to advertise ailments, whereas cannabis companies right now, until US becomes legal and they can go on the public markets legally, plant touching companies, until that happens, they may not have the capital to spend tens of millions or $100 million on approval. So FDA approved CBD based drugs, definitely pushing for that FDA approval in a lot of different factors. So this would allow the FDA and doctors and pharmaceutical companies to gain control over the product prescription distribution and a lot of beloved products. So paving that way to complete a pharmaceutical domination. So it seems like they're kind of just happily waiting on the sidelines, acquiring patents and securing rights to various extraction methods, concoctions, and ailments. So pharmaceutical companies are going to basically lean on regulators and get them in their pockets. So when the time comes, they're going to have that first mover advantage. So unlike natural cannabis and natural counterparts, a lot of these drugs can have some serious side effects. And so, I mean, I'm not a fan of big pharma. And so I'm not going to be taking their pills. I'm going to be sticking with the natural thing. I think the thing that we can all agree on, though, is that they're here and we're just gonna have to deal with them. But how we deal with them, I think we're just going to have to figure that one out.
With that, we're going to roll this one up. I'm Josh Kincaid. This is The Talking Hedge. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, or don't, and I'm out.
Don't forget to smash that like button on your way out and check out these other videos that we've got.